Hey, welcome to the Foundry Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to hear future messages. We hope you're blessed and encouraged by this message today.
All right. So I picked two kids that were going to come and join me. Dylan, Kennedy, are you still wanting to do that? Come on up here, you two. We are going to be doing a little showdown. A showdown that features my son, Sammy. So you may remember last week, I'm going to move this out of the way. We showed a picture of Sammy with a very sad face when he split his tongue. Well, this time it's going to be happier pictures of Sammy. You guys ready for this? So wait, one of you right here, one right here. This is going to be a bell. You guys are going to be competing in a competition. I'm going to explain that competition in 1 minute, but I'm going to get this in position because I have to be over here kind of like the game show host. So today, our theme is joy. Joy is the third candle in Advent. And we have to ask ourselves, what exactly does joy look like? And sometimes when we think about joy, we kind of think about happiness. There was a movie from Pixar that came out where one of the emotions was named joy, but she was sort of closer to like happiness, at least from a biblical perspective, because the Bible means something very specific when it talks about joy. So do we always have to smile when we have joy? Can it be in a hard time? Can you be joyful when you're not actually feeling particularly happy? Is that even possible? And so, to kind of help us, we're going to play a game show where you guys are going to, and let's go to that, let's put that game show up, name that emotion. So you guys are going to look right there. You guys can see it on the screens there. That's Sammy, featuring Sammy, who's in preschool right now. And so here's the challenge, you two. You're going to put both your hands behind your back, and I'm going to show you a picture. And the first one of you that rings the bell gets to name the emotion that Sammy is showing. Okay, so go to the next one there. So there's a question mark over his head. I'm going to do a countdown. That question mark is going to vanish, and whoever rings the bell first will get to take their guess as to what emotion Sammy is showing. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. Yeah, he was ready. Maybe we should do it. Okay, so what'd you say? All right, he said happy. That's correct. So 1 point. To Dylan. That was amazing, Dylan. He rang the bell at the end of 3, 2, 1. So we're going to do that different next time. He's stealthy. So here's the point. God made us with emotions. God himself has emotions. In fact, if we read a couple passages here, it says this in Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you, his love. He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." You hear the happy, joyful emotions of God. And it says this in the Psalms, "God is a righteous judge, a good judge who displays his wrath every day." So God expresses anger. And another part in the Psalms, it says, "How often they rebel against him in the wilderness, they grieved him in the wasteland." So God made emotions. They're a part of God, and so therefore they're a part of us. God has perfect emotions, but we don't have perfect emotions. In fact, we can't see our circumstances exactly right, so sometimes our emotions don't quite match with what's really going on. Okay, are you ready for the next one? Okay, now this one, I'm going to trust our AV team to just switch it over, and the first one to ring will get an answer, so whenever. Oh, Kennedy got it. Kennedy, what's your answer? What emotion is that?
Happy.
Okay, that's maybe happy. That's incorrect. Dylan, do you have a guess? Now, by the way, we tried to get Sammy to get him as close as possible. So this is also a testament of how good of an actor Samuel is. Dylan, do you have a guess? Okay, this is very Macaulay Culkin, right, guys, with what's going on here. So let's give it away. What's the answer there? This is afraid. Perfect, Sammy. He nailed it, right? I don't know. Did he do a good job? We tried. We tried so hard to get him to make this look right. Okay, so here's why we're talking about fear. When sin entered the world with Adam and Eve, suddenly some new emotions made an appearance. Things like fear and shame. And this big problem that we find ourselves in, we are disconnected from God. And because of that, the question mark becomes, can we ever find joy? Listen to these passages that explain it. He, meaning God, answered, "I heard you in the garden." Oh, I'm sorry, this is Adam talking to God. He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So suddenly we have some emotions that are very familiar to us, but really weren't in God's creation. And then it says later on in Genesis 3, the eyes of both of them, meaning Adam and Eve, were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made a covering for themselves. Yep, very sad news. And Adam and Eve having fear and shame. Okay, number 3. You ready for number 3? Okay. Go ahead and switch it over. First one to ring. Kennedy, that was fast. Okay, what emotion is that? Ready? Any guess?
Tired?
Ooh, I could be tired. But that's not what I was looking for, but that's a good guess.
Sad.
Sadness. That's correct. Sammy is being sad. This one took a while. He couldn't really act out sad very well. But he was definitely sad. Now, the reason that sadness entered into the world is because of shame and all of those things. And suddenly, you can imagine after Adam and Eve hid and they experienced death for the first time, but the death of one of their sons that was actually killed by one of their other sons, they probably cried. And this kind of helps us to realize something, that joy is actually more of a spiritual attitude. Because in the Bible, we are commanded to be joyful. Listen to this. This is, rejoice always, pray continually in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, that wouldn't make sense if that's an emotion. You can't force yourself to feel anything. So joy is a little bit different than just feeling happy all the time. And it says this in Habakkuk. Listen to all this sad thing that's going to happen at the beginning of this verse. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes in the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in your pen and no cattle in your stalls, that's a lot of reasons to not smile, right? Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. So we can see that joy is commanded in the Bible, and we ought to have joy. Okay, so let's now go to the Christmas story. So the next prompt, we're going to do a little bit Christmas story, but we got to go to the next emotion with Sam, his flawless acting skills. Here we are, number four. Okay, Kennedy, you're ready for this one. Okay, what is this? Lame, like he's like, lame. That is an emotion, isn't it? You know what? I'm going to give it to you. Lame. You thought, okay, so Dylan thought sleepy. Maybe we'll have to give you both a point because they're both close. This one was tired. Lame is kind of like, you know, it's the same old thing that's happening. So listen, we're gonna read a part of the Christmas story, which, by the way, this candle is called the Shepherd's Candle, the candle that's all about joy. So listen to this. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flock of sheep. So you can imagine this is just what they always do. It's nighttime. They're probably tired. They're probably bored. They probably say, these sheep are kind of lame. We've been doing this my whole life, right? So I'm going to give it to you. But they didn't know that God was at work, and joy comes from realizing and knowing that God is at work, even when we don't see it. So they didn't realize that this happened a couple of verses earlier in Luke. So listen to this. The shepherds were out there being tired and bored, and then this is what God was doing. Because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, who was engaged and who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. And so we see that even though we don't always see what God is doing, and we can maybe have this emotion of tired or bored, God is at work, and we can have joy knowing that God is doing stuff even when we don't quite realize it. But the story doesn't end there, and neither does our game. We have one more. Are you ready? So you guys are tied, I think, each at two. So this will be the determining one. Are you ready for this? Kennedy, you're fast. Okay. All right, what expression is that? You're always ready for it after you ring the bell. Crazy. This is why I love kids ministry, because I plan these things out and they actually make me think. That is kind of, you're right, that is crazy, and I'm almost tempted to give it to you. Okay, Dylan, do you have a guess?
Angry.
Yeah. Here's what I was looking for, and remember, this is very limited to Sam's acting ability. This one was surprised. So crazy, we'll count that. He is acting kind of crazy, and he could be angry and throwing something. So once again, not your fault. But here's the point. We're looking at this, that God surprises us with joy. So listen to this. This is what happens to those tired, bored shepherds. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David." And so we're going to wrap this up. Joy is praise and confidence that comes from the faith that God will keep his promises. And that's why when the shepherds were getting that message from the angels, they said that he was going to bring joy, something that's not just going to be an emotion that happens when you're smiling, but something that can happen at all times. And so we ask the question, what does joy look like? What kind of face does it have? Well, it's obviously the face of Jesus. And there was a picture that I found that I thought, this is pretty good for the face of joy. And it's not a face. So let's put this up. It's a picture of the manger. So you can put that one up there, the manger. And what Jesus did, coming to earth to die, to come as a baby, be born, to sacrifice himself for our sins. And notice the outline of the cross there. This is the look of joy, that Jesus was willing to come. And in Hebrews 12, it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And so, can you only have joy when you're happy? No, not at all. Like Jesus, we can have joy at all times in suffering and in happiness, because we know that God has a plan. In fact, we should do what the shepherds did. And so as I wrap up and I conclude, I want to just read the rest of what happened to the shepherds. Here's what they did as an act of joy. They looked for Jesus. They praised God when they found him, and they told others. So listen here, and then we're going to pray. "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After they had seen the child, they spread the message they had received about him, and all who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, which was just as the angels had told him." That is joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come together and enjoy a church service, worship you, have some fun with ugly sweaters. We're grateful for the joy that Jesus gave us by coming to earth in the manger, dying on the cross, and one day taking his seat in the throne with that crown on his head as King Jesus. And we are so grateful that we can remember it, and may our hearts be filled with joy. Even if we don't quite have that happiness emotion in our lives right now, help us to remember and be like those shepherds. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you two, come over here to me. I'm going to give you some candy. Thanks for participating. Let's give them a round of applause.
Right. Oh, man. Nice job, Kennedy and Dylan. All right, let's give it up for our kids and for Pastor Brandon. Nice job. All right, hey, I'm going to pick up where Brandon left off and give you a little bit of the rest of that passage which Brandon read. Let's read it again, Luke 2, and we're going to continue talking about joy. These shepherds were living out in the fields, keeping their watch over the flocks, and the angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And of course, they were terrified. That's always what happens when angels show up. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid." And here's the phrase we're going to focus on with the rest of our time. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Messiah, the Lord." Let's unpack that a little bit. That statement, "I bring you good news," that is actually our word, gospel. We've heard that probably before. It's the Greek word, which translates often gospel. So this is the first proclamation of the gospel right after Jesus is born. So the angel says, "I've got a gospel, the gospel to proclaim to you. I have great, great news." And the news in the Greek is this mega kara. Mega, not MAGA. Don't confuse it with MAGA. It's mega, great. And then joy is this word, kara. And there's some interesting things that we can draw from that about great joy. First of all, great joy, as Brandon talked about, is really more than happiness. Happiness often is determined by our happenings, like what's going on with our circumstances. And if our circumstances are good, then we feel happy. If they're bad, then we don't feel so happy. But joy is something deeper than that. Joy is actually a gift from God. And we can see that in the very word, that word chara in the Greek. It's from another very important word in our Greek New Testament, charis, which is translated gift or grace. So literally, joy is the gift of God's grace. Joy is a response to ultimately the grace that the gospel teaches us, that we can be forgiven of our sins, not by what we do, but what's been done for us. So joy is a gift from God. So it's not something that we work for or earn or can conjure up. It's something that actually God gives us. And that ties into the final statement. That is that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. You know, in Galatians chapter 6, Paul's listing the Spirit. And he talks about what the flesh produces. And then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. So joy is one of those things that the Spirit of God produces in us. So again, it's not something that we work up. Like, I could tell you, hey, be happy. You should be happy. And you're like, you can tell me that all day long. But if I can't somehow, I can't just make myself all of a sudden be happy. So for the believer, what we look to is the Holy Spirit in our lives to produce something deeper than happiness, and that is joy. So notice what the angel says about this good news that causes great joy. One, it says it's going to be for all people. Now, does this mean that all people are saved? No, but it simply means that the opportunity is extended to all people to have great joy because of the good news. And so what does it mean? Well, like, what are some things that we might think of with all people? Well, every socioeconomic class. It's not like God came for one group of people and not another. Even economically, it's what's interesting is the announcement is first made to lowly shepherds. They were the lowly in society. The angels didn't go to the temple. He didn't go to the wealthy, to the rich and the powerful, but he went to lowly shepherds in a field nearby. And that kind of ties in when Mary sings her song after the angel tells her she's going to give birth to the Messiah. Listen to her song. She says, he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he sent the rich away empty. What is the point here? Well, usually the rich would be the first to know. They would be the favored in society. And so this is God kind of turning things upside down and saying, listen, no, I've come for everybody. And to show that, I'm going to make my announcement first to those who are sort of on the fringes of society. And then in Matthew, we just read, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, those who realize their need for God, the spiritually bankrupt. So all people includes every socioeconomic class. It also includes both Jews and Gentiles. But the announcement would go first to the Jews in the Bible. In fact, Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel or the good news. Why? Paul, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Everyone. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. So when Jesus began his ministry, they were going first to, he called it the lost sheep of Israel, Jews. And then when the Jews mostly rejected him, then the gospel through Peter and through Paul and the other apostles went to the Gentiles. And so Jew and Gentile. And then we learn from many scriptures in the Bible, what does it mean, all people? Well, it means literally every ethnic group, tribe, language, and people. Revelation chapter 5, we read this in our series in Revelation. When the Lamb opens the seal, it says, they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. Why? Why is Jesus worthy? Because he was slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. So God doesn't play favorites. The gospel and the message that you can have great joy goes to everyone here. And so what I want you to know this morning, every one of us, men, women, boys and girls, teenagers, all of us, regardless of your station in life, and that is that the good news that causes great joy is for you. It's for you. So if you think that you've done something to somehow, cause you to be ruled out, and that you can't have the joy that other people seem to have, maybe you're not among those who get all the applause, and you're just like, yeah, there are people in life who seem like things go their way, and they just seem to be happy. And we know that there are certain personality types, and some people just seem to be happy and super optimistic, and other people, they're more melancholy, and you can kind of see the negative side of things, and you're like, this is kind of the way I'm wired up. That doesn't mean that you can't have deep, deep joy in your life. This isn't a personality thing. It's not a background family thing. It is something that God offers to all people. And you might be like, look, my circumstances this Christmas, there's no way I'm a happy camper. There's so much would have to change for me to actually be happy. I want to challenge you that when the announcement is made, nothing changes in the life of these shepherds until they go and they see, as Brandon read at the end of his. There is a response, but here's the point. The opportunity to be deeply joyful in this life is extended to every one of us here, and you can walk out of here this morning with that. Here's the second thing. It happened on a specific day. I love this. Verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. What are we emphasizing here? Well, we're emphasizing that it happened on a specific day. Jesus split time, and he entered into our world, and it's not spiritualized. He literally came. He was literally given birth to. He literally was born in a stable, in a probably a cave where animals stayed. And it's real. And so it says in Galatians 4 about this specific day, it says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons. God sent his spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. Since you are his child, God made you also an heir. An heir. So here's my point. I just said, and Brandon said too, that happiness depends on your happenings. It's not circumstantial, right? So you can be joyful despite your circumstances. But I want to give us a little different slant on that. I want to suggest to you that it actually is dependent upon circumstances. Your joy and my joy actually is utterly dependent on circumstances. The question is, well, what circumstances? And here's the circumstance. Jesus was born on a specific day, and we're going to talk about it in a moment, in a specific place. Those are real circumstances. That actually really happened. And so I can have joy not based on what happens today or this month or the season of my life, but what happened 2,000 years ago in a stable in Bethlehem, where in real time, in real life, Jesus entered in. Those are circumstances. So I don't go, well, I guess I have to be happy even though life is really bad. Actually, no. Something happened in this life, and I believe it with all of my heart as if it happened yesterday. And so I'm going to base my joy on what really, really happened. This isn't spiritualizing. He really came. And therefore, I root my joy in what actually happened. That's why the details of the gospel matter. That's why the reality and the literalness of our Bible actually matters. Not that there's some symbolic things in there, but Jesus' birth was not symbolic. It was literal. He really came. There's also a specific day when Christ will come again, we're told. And you know what? Jesus says about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I'm going to come back. And nobody knows except for the Father, but I'm going to come back on a specific day. Just like his first birth wasn't spiritualized, or his first coming, his second coming won't be either. And this is another thing that we root our joy in. He came, and he's coming again. He came literally the first time, and he's going to come literally the second time. Look what Peter says, 1 Peter 4. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Peter's like, listen, yes, life is hard, and there's a lot of grief and a lot of hardship and a lot of pain. Like, that's normal. So don't be surprised by that. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. And so here's the other part of this. Our joy is not yet fully complete. Jesus offers us joy, but we need to know there is a completeness of joy that is yet to come. And part of my joy in this life is rooted in the fact that there is going to be complete joy in the life to come. And that's why the Bible says this. Where does it say we find fullness of joy or complete joy? Psalm 16:11. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. When Christ comes again, we will be forever in his presence in a very powerful, powerful way. Then there is fullness of joy. So my joy is rooted in a specific time in the past when Christ came, and it's also rooted in very specific circumstances yet to come, and that is his second coming, or if I die first, am I going to be with him? Number three is that the good news that causes great joy happened in a specific place. In a specific place. This was to fulfill the prophecy, right? Today, in the town of David, it's not random, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. This, we learn, was part of one of the prophecies in Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed with all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had called to the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, where was the Messiah to be born? In Bethlehem, in Judea. They replied, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. It happened in a specific place because that's where God decreed that it would happen, and the prophets foretold it would happen. It wasn't random. It was all planned in advance, specific day, in the fullness of time, in a specific place. These are all things that root the birth of Jesus in history. And then number four, it says that a Savior has been born to you. The great news that causes great joy, simply put, is that there's a Savior and he's been born to you. A Savior. Why a Savior? Why is that such great news? Well, that implies something. If a Savior is born, it means that people need saving. People need saving, and that is the message of the Bible, that all of us, without a Savior, are hopelessly lost. And so when in Matthew chapter 1, with the birth announcement, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. This is the angel to Joseph. Why are you to give him the name Jesus, which means he saves? Because he will save his people from their sins. See, every one of us are sinners, and our sins separates us from God. And so the only way that I am reconnected with God in a relationship is if I'm saved from the penalty of my sin, which is death. And so Jesus came, and he lived a perfect life, and he died. And in dying, he died for my sins and your sins so that we might be saved from our sins. You know, in Matthew, or in Luke, Jesus sends out the 72. We read about it in Matthew as well. He sends them out to do ministry. And when they returned, they were very joyful. It says they returned with joy, and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. So he's like, yeah, I gave you that authority. Of course the demons are going to obey you because I've given you authority to do ministry. But look at verse 20. However, do not rejoice that spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Where is the greatest source of joy for the believer? It's not in how things are going. It's on what's been done for me that allows me to know that my sins have been forgiven. So the next statement there on the screen is there is great joy in knowing that your sins are forgiven. Like no matter what else is going on in life, if I know that I'm right with God, there is reason to rejoice. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's like, listen, don't put all your hope in ministry success or work success or family success, but like there's a base level joy that is to be found in knowing that I get to go to heaven when I die because my sins are forgiven. And there's nobody can steal that if you know Christ as Savior. So a Savior has been born, and then we're told who that Savior is. He is the Messiah, or the Christ. The Christ is Messiah in Greek. Messiah is the Hebrew word. Not just any Savior, but the one whom the prophets foretold, the very Son of God. And I love, this is where, when Jesus is asking the disciples, who do people say that I am? And they're like, well, some people think you're John the Baptist, others think you're Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, in one of his shiny moments, answers, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. In other words, God revealed this to Peter, that Jesus is the Savior. And he's not just any Savior. He didn't come to set the Jews free politically from the Romans' oppression. Nor has he come to make your life just better in this life. But he's come to meet our deepest need, and that is a need for forgiveness. And so the prophets foretold of one who would be anointed by God, who would come and save people from their sins. That's who Jesus is. And it says he is a Savior, Messiah, the Lord. That's who's been born. And so the last aspect of Jesus' character there is that he is the Lord. What does that mean? All through the New Testament, Jesus is called Lord. It's a statement of his sovereignty, that he's the sovereign God of the universe. And he calls for our submission and obedience. See, some people love the part about receiving Jesus as their Savior. I mean, who doesn't want her sins forgiven? But if you're going to receive him as Savior, you also must receive him as Lord. And these are one and the same. These are two sides of the same coin. He is Savior who laid down his life, and he is the sovereign God of the universe who calls for us to bow our knees to him. And the Bible says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The question is, will you confess that he's Lord in this life so that you have the promise of eternal life? That's joy comes in receiving him as Savior, but also in receiving him as Lord. See, if you think that you've just been forgiven of your sins, but then you're going to live life on your own terms, and you haven't really submitted your life to Jesus, you're not going to be joyful. And you're also not going to be secure in your salvation, because this is the gospel. He's both Savior and Lord, and we must receive him as both. And so if you're here and you're like, yeah, I prayed one day that Jesus would forgive me of my sins. But the question is have you really yielded your life to him? Not perfection. None of us are perfect. That's why we need a Savior. But have I recognized that he is to be the Lord of my life? And that means he gets to call the shots. And that means every decision I bring before him and every command that is in the scriptures, I try to align my life to, by the grace of God, he is Savior and he's Lord. It could be this morning that you're here and you're not very happy. You know what really makes Christians miserable is when they're living in disobedience to the Lord. Your joy will absolutely be stolen from you if you're not seeking to live in obedience, because you'll be miserable. Because God created you for fellowship, but you've got a wall of sin in your life. And so this is really one of the keys to unlocking a life of joy for somebody who actually has surrendered their life to Jesus, but you're sort of living in rebellion against God. And it'll make you miserable. And there's such joy to be had in saying, okay, God, I surrender. I surrender my life to you. I'm laying everything down and giving it all to you. I accept your forgiveness in Jesus' death on the cross. I believe you have saved me from my sins, and I want to follow you as Lord. Man, there's no happier person than makes that decision. So with that, I'm going to ask you to bow, and the band's going to come up, and we're going to worship our way out of here. And after we sing a response song of worship, we're going to have a special prayer time over Pastor Jesse and Kaylee, and I'll talk more about that in a second, but I just don't want you to rush out of here. But with our heads bowed, let's just respond to the Lord this morning. Jesus, we thank you that you came, and we thank you, Lord, that your coming is such great news, and it is great news that causes us to experience great joy. And that is profound. And Lord, I pray that every one of us in this room would know the great, great joy that you offer. The gift of joy, Lord. The fruit of the Spirit in our lives. May we all experience it in a profound way. And if you're here this morning and you have never really received Jesus as Savior, you've never confessed your sin and admitted to him and asked you to come in. Or maybe you sort of have, but you know that you've never submitted your life to him as Lord. Maybe this morning could be the moment where you receive him as Savior and as Lord. He is the promised Messiah who came to save us from our sins. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, for making a way for our sins to be forgiven. May every one of us know the deep joy that you offer. It's as simple as a very honest prayer from the heart that confesses our sin. So if you've never done that, I just want to lead you in a very simple prayer. Maybe there's some kids in here who've never really prayed that prayer. And it just simply says, Jesus, I confess to you, I am a sinner. I confess to you what you already know to be true, and I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sins. I put my faith and my trust in you as Savior, and I submit to you as my Lord. Be the Lord of my life. I want to follow you. I want to submit my life fully to you, and may I, Jesus, know the joy that you offer. That's our prayer, and we pray it in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And if you did, make sure to share it and subscribe so that we can get you all of these new messages as soon as they're available. I also want to take a moment and thank all of you who are a part of Foundry. Whether you support us financially or serve with us or just share these messages, it's because of you that we're able to make a difference. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.